You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Veronica Rickard. Coming up, we'll find out why smart people turn stupid at businesses, schools, and other organizations. We'll talk about the stupidity paradox.
Right now. It is October 31st. If you haven't checked your calendar, if you poke your head outside this evening, you'll see goblins, ghouls, Star Wars characters, and maybe some presidential candidates wandering around, knocking on doors, asking for treats, maybe playing the occasional trick.
And while Halloween is seen as a goofy, family-friendly holiday in the United States, the roots of the holiday go back thousands of years.
Joining us now to talk about the history of Halloween is Tim McMahon. He's an associate professor of history at Marquette University, and he's the vice president of the American Conference for Irish Studies. Tim, welcome to Central Time.
Thank you so much, Rob. How are you?
Well, I'm good. Well, it looks like I did a little reading up. Halloween goes back a lot of years. This is not a recent invention of the candy companies.
Absolutely not. Well, the way we celebrate it or recognize it in the U.S. now, I think, is more a product of the candy companies. But you know, if you go back to its earliest roots, it's associated with a Celtic festival called Samhain, which, you know, most Americans would look at that word on a piece of paper and think it is pronounced Samhain, but it's pronounced Samhain, and essentially it means the end of summer. Right, it's the end of the harvest. The days are getting shorter, and it's this sort of liminal time when you know, the dead may walk, because you know, the season of life is coming to an end, and the long winter is coming.
And Tim, what did the ancient Celts do to celebrate or to observe, I guess, Samhain?
Well, thanks, Veronica. Among other things that were associated with Samhain, they of course feared that the spirits that might be walking, and so it was not unusual to leave out some sort of food or sustenance outside your door to protect yourself. But it also was not unusual to light fires. That's actually something that is common right down to the present time. For example, in Ireland, you'll often find fires lit in communities at Halloween. I mean, if you go back a few hundred years, it was not unusual in, say, a village in rural Ireland for people to put out their the fire in their hearths, and then go to a communal bonfire in the village, and then come home at the end of that with a spark from that fire and relight their home fire from the communal thing. So kind of uniting with your neighbors in that way. But, you know, all kinds of traditions were built up around it, from, you know, divination, you know, how to find out who your spouse will be, to games and trickery, you know, that ultimately would evolve into what we know today.
And eventually Christianity came along to these Celtic lands. What was the tension between Halloween and the festivities you mentioned and the church, maybe not liking some of those superstitions?
Sure. You know, I mean, one of the things that I think we have to realize about a lot of holidays that we celebrate now is that they were kind of superimposed. You're talking about different cultural systems and different cultural structures that ultimately are blended. You know, I talk with my students a lot about the concept of what I call syncretic Christianity, that in essence, a lot of the Christian holidays are built onto these almost pre-existing calendar customs. So, you know, when I think it was Pope Gregory VIII in the middle of the 700s, you know, basically declared, you know, November 1st to be All Saints Day, right? So essentially recognizing the dead in a Christian fashion at the same time, or roughly the same time, that Samhain would have been recognized on an old Celtic calendar. But you also, I mean, even before Christianity, the Roman Empire had sort of a Day of the Dead at roughly the same time. So these all end up kind of blending together. And what we call Halloween is, you know, All Hallows Eve, so the night before All Saints. And a lot of the traditions, the sort of dressing up maybe in a mask to ward off the evil spirits that are walking, that one might have seen in a Samhain festival, becomes more regularized as a Halloween tradition.
And in that same vein of sort of Christian holidays and observances being superimposed on pagan ones, there was an interesting little historical tidbit about how there was a switch made from putting out food and wine for departed souls to using soul cakes. Do you know about soul cakes?
This was more of an English tradition or a Scottish tradition, but soul cakes is, as I recall, had to do with when the poor especially would come to the house on Halloween, you would offer them these cakes in exchange for their prayers, especially for dead family. In that sense, building in a Christian ritual, i.e. praying for the dead, into this prior tradition where, you know, people who were walking about for a Samhain festival might have been taking goods from your house. Yeah.
Talking to Tim McMahon, Associate Professor of History at Marquette University, looking at the history of today. Halloween goes back a couple thousand years, it sounds like. Let's bring it up to the modern day, or closer to, Tim. Here in the United States, when did Halloween first take off as an American tradition?
Well, it was really a product of people moving to the new U.S. I think the closest that we get to where we are today really is sort of the mid 19th century, especially when you see waves of Irish coming to the U.S. In the wake of the potato famine. But you also already had immigrants coming from other parts of the United Kingdom, and indeed other parts of Europe, where there had been similar harvest traditions. But the idea of, again, moving from house to house, dressed in costume, and either offering a trick or warding off you doing a trick in exchange for something to eat, it became part of the tradition around October 31st. And then really when you move into the 20th century, there was kind of the element that again you saw back, let us say, in Ireland, where, you know, as recently as the 1970s in Ireland, it was not unusual for, you know, groups of young men especially to go through towns playing tricks on people, dropping fireworks in mailboxes and that kind of thing. And into the 1920s and 30s in the U.S., you saw that kind of thing too. And so gradually over time, communities basically started to regularize and police it, and then ultimately turn it into more of a children's or a family holiday. And that really takes off with the baby boom once you get past 1950 or so, when you've got just this huge number of young people and mass marketing, especially for children and families at that point in time.
It's obviously still a really big deal. I've got two kids who are probably just dying to get out there already tonight. But do you think that Halloween is also, it seems like it's growing. It seems like it's not just kids and their parents. It seems like, you know, young people in their 20s and 30s really love getting dressed and buying costumes and going out. So do you think it's still kind of evolving?
I do. I mean, I think anytime you've got a cultural tradition or a legacy that goes from generation to generation, every age group is going to put its own spin on things. I mean, I think that's true throughout history. And in the U.S., especially, there's a great driver of that, and that's money. If there's money to be made, someone's going to sell the costumes. Someone's going to, you know, market the talking skull that you'll see on your porch front tonight. And I mean, the fact of the matter is, it's fun. I mean, all you need to do is to look at the costume shops and the malls and so forth, and you realize absolutely you're right. It's not just marketed to kids; it's marketed to people of all ages. And you know, I mean, I'm looking forward to going home and distributing candy tonight in our neighborhood just because I think it's one of my favorite nights of the year.
And you mentioned, we've talked about how a lot of this came originally from Ireland. How does the modern day, today's Irish Halloween celebration compare to ours? What might surprise an American trying to do Halloween in Ireland?
Well, I mean, I think it's actually more, you know, in my experience, which is limited at this time of year. But I mean, I was there over a holiday, a Halloween, in the mid '90s, and while you certainly saw a lot of kids dressed up in costumes, it was more, you know, teens and young adults, I think, on the street, with elements of mischief making. And you know, I don't think that's entirely bad, though. At the same time, I mean, like, I remember my wife and I experienced this. We were living in an apartment in downtown Dublin, and the power went out on our block on Halloween, and a bunch of the older neighbors who had, you know, lived in Irish villages and towns, but had moved into Dublin, they immediately said, "We've got to have someone watch the door because the young people are going to come in." Like, <yeah. laughs> they were, I think, hearkening back to an earlier time or something. But it, you know, I mean, you know, friends of mine who are in their 30s and 40s now would, you know, talk about how in their youth they can certainly remember going around and still tossing fireworks and things and lighting fires. That kind of tradition has lingered on.
All right, Tim, thanks a lot for sharing the story of Halloween with us.
Well, thank you so much.
That's Tim McMahon, Associate Professor of History at Marquette University and Vice President of the American Conference for Irish Studies. He joined us to talk about the roots of Halloween and how it became such a holiday here in the United States.
Coming up after the news, our guest says businesses and other organizations have a knack for hiring smart people and making them stupid. We'll hear from the author of The Stupidity Paradox coming up after the news. I'm Veronica Rickert.
And I'm Rob Ferret. This is Central Time.